So in this month, we usually at this time take some time out to pray and to fast and to seek God's guidance. If you go to any of the Bible apps or any of the commentaries or most of the speakers globally, you'll hear everybody talking about prayer because universally, January is the month where everyone focuses on prayer and begins to call on the Lord and to seek God for guidance for the new year. Amen? And I think one of the wisest things for us to do is to seek God's direction, to seek God's guidance, and to seek God's counsel, and to find out from God, what are you blessing, Lord, rather than coming up with our own little plan, coming up with our own little scheme of what we're going to do this year and what we're going to achieve this year. Better to ask God, what is your plan for my life this year, Lord? What is your plan for the church this year, Lord? What is your plan for my family this year? Lord, what is your plan for my finances this year? Let's start there. Let's ask God's direction and guidance for everything because his plan is infinitely better than your plan. Amen? Already the year's just started. I got a frog. Excuse me. And I understand that one of the world's greatest influencers at the moment has already been locked up, is in prison, and his plan is not going quite the way that he planned it to be. And that's because, you know, man can make their plans, you know, but if our plans are not conceived in God's mind, if it's not God's plan that we're following, we can come unstuck. Are you with me? So it's really important that we as believers, we look to God and follow his plan. So here we go. So here's the message. I'm entitling the message, Understanding the Benefits of Prayer. So if you ask any Christian, is prayer important? Most Christians will tell you, yeah, prayer is infinitely important, really, really important. But so many people are having a challenge trying to work out, how do I make the time to pray? How do I make the time to pray? And how much time should I devote to prayer? And how should I pray? What posture should I take? And of course, what should I pray? What should be the content of my prayer? Well, today I want to address that so that we're under no illusion as to what we should be doing in this year. And you can go to the website, micah.org.uk, look at the banner for this month for prayer, click on that, and you'll get some instructions, some direction, and some notes in there that you can follow on a daily basis and on a weekly basis. So the first question I'm asking, and this is 6 points that I'm bringing to you this morning. The first point is this: why on earth should we pray? Why should we pray while we're here on earth? God desires for us to have relationship with him. He wants intimate relationship with us. And the way that we maintain our relationship with God is by communicating with him. And the way that we communicate with God is through prayer. Prayer is just having a chat with God, having a chat with Daddy. It doesn't have to be as formal as some folks think. My kids don't speak to me with formality. My grandkids don't speak to me with formality. They speak to me with me in a very relaxed, casual, intimate way. They tell me what their thoughts are. They tell me what their likes are. They tell me what their dislikes are. They tell me what their successes are. They tell me what their failures are. And they ask my advice. Occasionally they ask for my input and some of my resources. Why? Because they know that I care for them, I love them, I'm concerned about where they're going and what they're doing, and therefore they know that my heart is towards them. It's no different with God. God cares about every aspect of your life. Even the biggest catastrophes of your life, God has an opinion about that, and God has a plan to put everything back on track. God has a plan to rescue you from some relationships and to bring you new relationships. God has a plan to bring you into a new chapter of your life and bless you despite whatever you think has gone wrong in your life. God has a better plan for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're coming out. You're coming out. Who was it that wrote that song, I'm Coming Out? Diana Ross. I want the world to know. Gonna let it show. I'm coming out. Well, the only coming out I'm coming out in is I'm coming out in Jesus. Amen? Somebody? I'm coming out in Jesus. So James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you want God to be close to you, you've got to draw near to him. There's a saying that says, feeling far from God, guess who moved? If you're feeling far from God, it's probably you that's done the moving. So you've got to move back in with God. Let us draw near to God, a song says, in full assurance of faith, knowing that as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Isn't it the same in relationship? You know, in a romantic relationship, you start pulling away from your partner, they start pulling away from you. You start getting close to your partner, start holding their hands, put your head on their shoulder, whisper sweet nothings in their ear. All of a sudden, they warm up towards you. Anybody notice that? If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. The Amplified Version puts it like this. Come close to God with a contrite heart. He will come close to you. So when we come to God, we say, Lord, I'm far from perfect. Lord, I'm full of flaws and faults, and there's a lot not going quite right in my life, and I know I've got some issues that I need help with, but Lord, nonetheless, I'm still coming close to you. And God will say, I was going to speak some Jamaican then. I was going to say, me pitney. my child, my son, my daughter, I will draw near to you. How often do you speak to the people that you love in your life? Regularly. I know my wife and my daughter speak to each other regularly, like every day. They're on the phone and I'm like, oh my God, what more could you guys be talking about? I even got nicknames for them, which I won't share here. Well, I'll share one. I'm a bit cheeky sometimes. I call one of them Tweedledee and the other one Tweedledum. Tweedledee and Tweedledum are on the phone having a chat. Amen? And sometimes I say to Lorna, oh, has Chatterbox called you this morning? Or I say to Shreef, oh, Chatterbox wants a word with you. And I'm like, let me give them a moment. Sometimes, Shreefer, it's 9:30 at night. Don't you know that couples need time for romance? Why don't you get off the phone and go on to your bed? Go speak to your own husband. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares, Amplified Version, all your anxieties, all your worries and all your concerns once and for all on him. Some of us are casting our cares, our anxieties, our concerns all over the place. You run over here, you tell that one. You run over there, you tell that one. You must remember when you're telling people your business, everybody have a friend. Look, let me tell you. Don't tell nobody, let me tell you. Don't use me, friend. Don't need to do that, folks. Cast in all your cares and your anxieties and your worries and your concerns on him once and for all. Why? Because he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Did you know that? That God is watching over you very carefully. He's scrutinizing everything about you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. He knows you're in a tight jam. He knows that you've been done bad. He knows that it's unfair. He knows that it's unjust. He knows that you don't know how you're going to cope. He knows that you don't know your next move. He knows that if you get fired, you're going to be unemployed. He knows all that. But he's watching over you with great concern, and he has a plan for your life. Despite what they said about you, God is going to bring you out real good. So cast all your cares on him. You know, Jesus was with his disciples, but he often sneaked away from his disciples and went somewhere quiet, somewhere lonely, somewhere where he could seek his Father by himself and pour out all his concerns. Father, I don't really want to go to the cross. I don't really want to be crucified. I don't really want my hands and my feet. I can see exactly what's going to happen. Lord, if it's possible, could you not rework this plan? And then he says, you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus often went to a solitary place to pray, to seek God, to get direction, to get instruction. Even Jesus had to draw near to God. And when we don't pray, what we're saying is, I don't need God, and probably God don't need me. And we're just doing our own thing. We got to draw nearer to God. We got to draw close to God. God is always available. He's never too busy to speak to you. He's never too busy to hear you. It doesn't matter the time, the place, the circumstances. Do you remember Daniel, the young man? He was a genius, a child genius, a child prodigy. The Babylonians came, conquered their nation, took them into captivity. He became a slave in a foreign land, but God went with him. And every time Daniel kneeled by his window to pray and drew near to God, guess what? God drew near to Daniel. Three kings had to consult that slave boy. He became like their prime minister. He could interpret their dreams. He could read foreign script handwriting on the wall when God wrote on the wall. He could tell them their future. Daniel, even though he was captive in a foreign land, they changed his name, they changed his diet, they changed his clothing, they changed everything, but nothing could change his relationship with God. So God went with him into Babylon and said, okay, so they brought you down here, I'll have to make you the head in Babylon. Because you can't be the tail.
That's right.
And God will make you the head and not the tail, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances, no matter how it looks, God is going to make you the head and not the tail. It's a promise in the Bible. Claim it. Despite the time, the place, the circumstances, God will do it. David said this in Psalms 34, 15 to 20, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. You know when the baby's crying? The parent is listening. The parent is so concerned about the child that they go out and buy an electronic device that they can plug in so that while the baby's upstairs in the bedroom and you're downstairs entertaining guests, should that child begin to bleat, you will hear. And you will rush to the need of the child. God is doing exactly the same thing with you. Do you have concerns this morning that you've not put to God in prayer? This is the month to do that. Make a list, make an inventory of all the things that you haven't yet brought to God. I need a new man, bring it to God. I need a new woman, bring it to God. I need more finances, bring it to God. I need a new home, bring it to God. I need my child to straighten up, bring it to God. Whatever you need, bring it to God. I want my business to double. Why? Bring it to God. Otherwise, the business will double and it'll bust you. You'll have more money than sense. You do all the wrong things with it before you know it. You're in problems. Bring it to God. The second point then is this. Prayer is a posture of humbling ourselves before God. You know, James chapter 4, verse 10 says this. This James that I'm speaking about here, this is the brother of Jesus. This is what James says. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. This is what he said. He says, humble yourselves in the spirit of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The problem with mankind is that we want to lift ourselves up. We want to big up ourselves. And we got people in the world foolishly telling us to big up ourselves. Big up your chest. Big up yourself. You know, you're a G. You're an OG. You know, tell them who you are. Let them know. Sort out your social media that everyone will know who you are. Fool's game. Fool's game. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up in due time. We need to cultivate a relationship with God. You know, when you're cultivating, like, when you cultivate your garden, or when you cultivate a woman, or when you cultivate a man, or when you cultivate a relationship, it's spade work. So many of us, we get a woman and we think, oh, I've got a woman, she's beautiful, she can cook. Brother, you still need to cultivate. I got a man, he's earning big money, he's really smart, he's good. You still need to cultivate. You got to cultivate each other, otherwise you're gonna be living in a garden that's gonna be a mess. Cultivate each other, keep working on each other, keep developing. And you need to cultivate yourself, cultivate your character, cultivate your attitude, cultivate your discipline, cultivate your manners, cultivate your communication. There's nothing worse than watching a young man or a young woman who doesn't know about this cultivating principle. So they just open their mouth and because I'm a man, I detest it more when I see young ladies. They open their mouth and the filth that comes out of their mouth, the communication that comes out of their mouth, I'm just like, ugh, that's so uncouth. It's a good thing I weren't looking to check you. So uncouth. If a young man was interested in you, they're already put off. Just by the things that come out of your mouth. The same with guys, the things that come out of your mouth. Cultivate your mouth. Or as they say in the islands, kibba your mouth. Keep your mouth. I think the word then evolved from keep your mouth to kibba your mouth. Keep your mouth. We need to cultivate our relationship with God. You need to work at it. You need to develop it. The same thing in marriage, a relationship. If you're not working on that marriage, if you're not working on that relationship, it will die. And it takes two parties to do that. And with God, God is always doing his share, but it takes you. Humble yourselves under the almighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. Cultivate your relationship with God. Prayer is the means by which we approach and by which we cultivate. The third point is this: prayer reduces our stress and our anxiety. When we are stressed out, when we are full of anxiety, when we are full of worry, it's because we're missing the instruction here in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Here's what it says: be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So there's nothing and there's everything. Anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, that takes a bit more time, with thanksgiving, that's an attitude of heart, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, who wants the peace of God? This is how you get it. It's when you do this that you get the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all rational, reasonable, intelligent understanding, that peace that is irrational, that peace that is unbelievable, that peace will come like soldiers and guard around your heart and lock files around your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? God is saying that if you call upon me, if you seek me, if you cast all your cares on me with supplication, with prayer, and you make your requests known to me, then I'm going to send my peace straight from heaven to your heart and to your mind, and I'm going to garrison you and protect you so that what's mad in the world won't mad you. I'm not worried about what the World Economic Forum is going to do. I know that ain't going to work. They can try. I don't care the new, pandemic that they're creating for us in the lab. Some of you don't know about that because you don't read. I'm not bothered about that because it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work on me anyway. I don't care what man is plotting in this world. I don't care about World War III because the Bible tells me that we win. The Bible tells me that no matter what they do, we, the believers, win. Prayer takes our mind off our circumstances. If your mind is on your circumstances, you're going to go crazy. Prayer takes our mind off our circumstances. Prayer helps us set the right priorities. And prayer gives us hope, trust, and confidence. And if you ain't praying, this is all that you're going to be lacking. Point four, prayer reminds us of our need for God. I need money, I need woman, I need good kids, I need job, I need house, I need resources for the business. But you know what? My priority is God. I need God more than anything else. God can bring me all that. But if I lose God, all that other stuff ain't staying too long. I will misappropriate it. Psalms, David, or one of the writers in Psalms says, Psalms 21 says, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." In Psalm 34:6, he said, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Don't you be embarrassed about the posture of prayer, the posture of crying, the posture of supplication. All the real he-men in this world that are achieving anything, they're on their knees in prayer. They're on their knees crying out to God. That is how you get it. Prayer is underestimated. You know, if they were to teach in school real British history, and if they were to teach real Bible history in school, the whole nation would be different. Did you know that in World War II, the king, King George the Sixth, king, yeah, the Queen, Her Majesty, who passed away just recently, her father during World War II called the church and the nation to pray 7 times during World War II. Did you know that? They don't teach that at school. They want us to forget that. Not only did they call 7 times, they had profound miracles that took place. Like on one occasion, a wind came and blew all the German ships 80 miles off course at the right time on the right day. On another occasion, the British army was about to be decimated by the Germans, and God turned it around and the British army prevailed. There were profound miracles. It's written about. If you Google it, you'll see it. It's written about. I've got some here. I'll just share it with you. In May of 1940, when France had fallen and the British army was trapped at Dunkirk, you probably heard some of this on the news before, around about Memorial Day, they tell you about some of this, the anniversary for Dunkirk. With the real threat of annihilation, King George VI called for the nation to have a national day of prayer to plead for divine intervention. Can you imagine the king? "I've come before you today as your sovereign to ask you all, let everybody call on God. Everyone in Britain called on God." A reporter who wrote an article said that he went down to the tennis courts and he saw a young man there that was distressed. He couldn't find anyone to play tennis with. When he was asked by the young man, "Where is everybody?" he said, "They're all in church praying as the king instructed." The man said, "I can't believe it. None of my friends go to church. I can't believe that." Imagine, this is in 1940 something, when the nation was much more Christian. The whole nation went out to pray because the Germans wanted to capture and destroy Great Britain. So 7 times the number of completion, the king ordered, "I instruct all of our subjects, everyone call on God." Just like it was in Jonah. When they had Jonah on the ship, they said, "Everyone call on his own God." So everyone called on their own God. But Jonah's God was the only God that answered. The nation prayed and Britain was victorious. During World War II, there were actually 7 national days of prayer called by King George, the 6th and the National Parliament. So they went out to pray and God did amazing things. I'm going to find those articles and post them in the Micah WhatsApp so you can go and read the documentaries of what God did through prayer in this nation. And that's why I loved when they had the funeral for Her Majesty, because they had to go back in the archives and they had to bring out all the scriptures that the nation was founded on. They had to call on God in all the ways. They couldn't even crown the new king before calling God. And when they called him, it was amazing. When they referred to King George, they said, "King George of God and the United Kingdom." They had to call him under God. And that's why even in their national anthem, who are they calling on to save the king? Who are they calling on to save the queen? "God save our gracious king." And in America, who are they say on their money, who they say they trusted in? In God we trust. See, they want to fool you that they don't believe in God and it's not a Christian nation and we never got. They only got where they got because of God and with God. But the more they despise God and the more they walk away from God and the more they pull away from God and the more they kick God out of the schools, the more the kids start killing themselves. and killing their parents and killing each other and killing your cousin and killing your nephew and killing your auntie. Why? Because the Ten Commandments, that the principle of the laws of the land, if you throw those principles out, the nation is destroyed. And that's why the globalists who want to destroy God and destroy the nation and destroy gender and destroy all things that are righteous, what they're trying to do is destroy mankind. They're agents of the devil. And when they destroy God's image and they destroy husband and wife and marriage and male and female and the right principles about gender, when they destroy all of that, they think then they can take over, but it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work because we're down here resisting them in Jesus' name. Sixth and final point is this. Prayer releases the supernatural. Listen to this. Despite what they're plotting, despite what they're planning, listen to this. James 5, 16 says, the earnest, heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman, a righteous person, makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its works. The heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. That power is dynamic in its working. You think that an atomic bomb is anything? You look and see what happens when people start praying. That's when you see power released on the earth. So Elijah prayed one time. Men challenged him about their God and his God. And he said, okay, you call on your God for a certain amount of time. And then when you finish calling on your God, I'll call on mine. And the God that answers with fire, that will be the God. And that's the one that we will serve. And of course, Daniel's God, Elijah's God won. On another occasion, Elijah prayed, there will be no rain in this land for 3.5 years. Guess what happened? For 3.5 years, there was no rain. King Hezekiah prayed. He understood that he was about to die. And he prayed and said, Lord, I've served you in righteousness. Please, could you just give me a few more years? God added to his life 15 extra years. Seniors, you can ask God for more years. You can say, God, I want to see the great-grandchildren. Could I have another 15 years, please? He might ask you, what are you going to do with it? And if you've got a good answer, he might give you another 15 years. He gave it to Hezekiah. Paul and Silas was in prison, you know, because some people get sent to prison. They was in prison. And they were sitting there talking. Can you believe that the people them sent us to prison for talking the truth? Can you believe that we were just trying to release people from bondage and tell them the truth? And the authorities came and locked us up and told us that that is censored. You ain't allowed to post that on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram. They don't like that. And it's fake news. And it's, what's the other thing they call it? Conspiracy theory. It's funny how all the conspiracy theories are all coming true now, isn't it? Just last night, a friend texted me and said, how are you doing, Pastor D? And I said, I'm fine. How are you? She said, oh, I lost my husband 3 months ago. I said, oh my word, I can't believe it. You lost my friend? The sister has 4 kids. The husband is now dead. The amount of circumstances I've heard of that, people just dropping dead like that. Where's that all coming from? But they ain't telling you about that in the news. They're not telling you the statistics that more people are dropping dead suddenly like that. Heart, lungs, for no reason. Undertakers are telling you what they're seeing in the bodies that they're burying. Doctors are saying something is wrong here. Hey, they've moved on from that now. It's now climate change. Go on Google and you'll find out that they're planning right now for you that you will not even be able to leave your area. They're already practicing this in, is it Oxford or Cambridge? Oxford. The people of Oxford can't travel outside their area more than a certain distance because in these new hubs that they're planning for us, everything you need must be in your vicinity. You go nowhere. That's why all the roads, 15 miles, that's why all the roads, they're blocking off all the side roads and the back roads. Have you noticed that? You can't drive down that road anymore. You can't drive down this road. Everyone must go on the main road where they can film you, where they can program you, where they can check where you are. There's some things going on in this world. So Paul and Silas was in prison because they didn't really want to go with the authorities and they had a few conspiracy theories that they wanted to share. And then while they were in prison, at midnight, they began to pray. Sorry? They began to sing and they began to pray while they was in prison. And the Bible says that the doors of the prison flew open And the jailer was terrified and thought that he would kill himself. And they said, please don't harm yourself. No need. The God that delivered us will deliver you. Don't happen to the jailer. The jailer got baptized, his whole household, and all of them became disciples of Paul and Silas. The church prayed while Peter was in prison, and God sent an angel. An angel went and just turned the lock, opened the door, and took Peter out. Peter went free. While the church was still praying for him, Peter was knocking at the door. Then they're having prayer meeting. Don't no one know I'm at the door. There was in there having prayer meeting that Peter would be released. And when they opened the door, they saw Peter, they thought they saw a ghost. That's how dynamic the prayer was. Let's wrap up with this. So why should we pray? Let's look at these 6 points again. We should pray because God desires relationship with us, and prayer is the means by which we are connected to God. Have you noticed God doesn't pray back to us? He speaks to us in many ways. We pray to God. That's how we communicate with God. God speaks to us in many different languages, some physical, some audible, some impressions. God speaks to us in many ways. God doesn't pray back to us. We pray to God. God speaks to us in many ways. So we should pray because we want to be intimate with God. Number two, we should pray because prayer is a posture of humbling ourselves before God. We should pray because prayer reduces our stress and our anxiety. We should pray because prayer reminds us of our need for God. And we should pray because prayer helps us set the right priorities. And finally, we should pray because prayer releases the supernatural.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.